Begin the current daven sechta Shabbos daf peivav. Begin the four lines up from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the theme of the previous Mishnah, is discussing the same terminology of minayin. From where do we know this concept from? And our Mishnah is going to introduce four of these minayins. From where do we know a certain concept? And one of them is the reason why we brought in all these that we introduced it bechlal in our perek is there something regarding the halachas of Shabbos. So the Mishnah begins. From where do we know that if semen is emitted on the third day, that it's going to transmit tumah? That is, on the third day, the shechva zera, the semen, has not yet been putrefied, and it's still fit to transform into a child. And that's what we call shechva zera. It's from the terminology of that it's still royal hazriya, that it can still be used to create and form a child. So where do we know that on the third day it's still viable? Shanem, like it says a pasuk in Shemois, heyu nechayinim l'shleishes yom, you should be ready for the third day. And that is, we see that the Torah, Hashem, was meticulous, was makbid, regarding the tumah of keri, which is the seminal emission, the semen that comes out of the body, regarding the matan Torah, when the Torah is going to be given on Shavuos. And the way it seems is that from the day that they were separated, which was on Wednesday, they separated from their wives, and they were makabel the Torah on Shabbos, which is a 4 days post the day that they were separated from. So if they had Tashmish Amita, if they had intercourse on Wednesday, and then they were toivel, if the woman was going to immerse herself in the mikvah on Friday night, so then we see that the Torah, Hashem, was not makbid if she was going to emit semen on Shabbos, because it's already putrefied, and it's not fit anymore, this semen, to go ahead and create a child. And that is, even if it's going to come out after she went into the mikvah on Friday night, it's not going to be matam anymore, whereas if she would have been pilot, if it would, the semen would be emitted before Friday night on the third day of when she had Tashmish, then it would be Mitama, and therefore they were separated for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and therefore on Friday night, which is already considered part of Shabbos halachically, then we don't care if the semen is going to be emitted, because then there is no more Tumas carry on that. That's because as the halacha that we're saying, that we know this halacha of if you pilot Shechva Zera, after 3 days, it's putrefied. It's not anymore going to transmit the tumah of keri, because as we know regarding the halachas of tumah, it's only regarding the corollary of tahara. It could create a child, but once it can't create a child, it's not going to transmit tumah anymore. Second halacha, minayin shemachitzines amila b'yom ha'shlishi shechalis b'shabbos. This is the halacha why we introduced all these minayins. It's from where do we know that one is allowed to wash the makam amila of a child, or any person for that matter, that had a milah 3 days post the milah that fell out on Shabbos. That even, it's not the day of the milah, it's 3 days later, still that person is considered a mesukin, in danger of life, and therefore they're allowed to wash and do other things which normally would not be permitted for a regular person. Shneim, like it says in the pasuk by the Anshei Shechem, that when the brothers of Dinah had tricked the people of Shechem because of what they had done to Dinah, it says, "Vayihi b'yom ha'shlishi b'yosim koyevim." It says they told them that they're only going to intermarry with them if they do a bris milah. And then it says that on the third day, when they were in pain, so we see that 3 days later, post milah, one is in major pain, and therefore there are certain things that are permitted to do a rechitza. Although rechitza is also on Shabbos, is permitted for the cause of a child or any adult that had a bris milah 3 days after. Third halacha, our Mishnah tells, "Minayin shekoyshin loshin." From where do we know that you tie a string of red wool at the head of the animal that sent out, that there were two animals that were the same in height and shape in every form? One was Kodesh LaHashem, one was brought in the Beis HaMikdash as a carbon on Yom Kippur, and the other one was sent LaZazel, that was sent down the cliff and it was chopped into pieces. And where do we know that we tie a strip of red wool on the head of that animal? Like it says the pasuk in Yeshaya, "Emiucha to'echem kashanim," that if your sins will be like crimson, which is a deep color of red, kashilig albinu, then it will become white as snow. In other words, that although red always signifies blood, earthliness, and sin, that it will become as white. So that's the point, that they would take this string and it would be tied, this red string, around the head of the sire, and after the kapara was done, it would turn white. Fourth halacha, minayin l'sicha shehikashti, from where do we know that anointing halachically has similar properties like drinking, b'yom kippurim, specifically in Yom Kippur when you're not allowed to drink, afa pishein ra'i l'dav v'zeich l'dav, even though there's not a complete proof, but there is an allusion to this concept, shnem, like it says, the pasuk in Tehillim, v'tav v'chamayim b'kibur, that will come as water in his innards, v'chashem en batzmaisav, and oil in his bones, which is that we see the pasuk is comparing and equating oil, which is the anointing, and water, which is the drinking. So now the Gemara discusses the first halacha regarding that shechva zera is only viable for 3 days, and therefore after the third day, even if a woman will omit the semen, it will not have halacha of tumas keri. So the Gemara says, Reisha, the beginning of our Mishnah, which is that halacha that we just said, it deloik Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because according to him, the Gemara later is going to quote a braisa that says, he says that even if a woman omits semen on the third day, then she's going to be tahar, and it doesn't have to wait till after the third day, that is only on the fourth day will be tahar. So therefore the Reisha that says it has to be asked after 3 days, that's not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. However, say for the end of our Mishnah, which says the second halacha, that machitzenes amila, that you could wash the mila even 3 days post the mila, is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. That is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. He's the one that our Gemara later in Shabbos and Paragraph Elazar the mila, that he says this halacha that is permitted. And the Gemara explains now the ikar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, because if the ratio of the first halacha regarding Sheikh Vazari is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but tahiru shemanle, as we're going to quote later in the Braisa, he says that it's tahir even if it's omitted 3 days later, not only 4 days later. So it seems to be a contradiction. Who is the Tana? The first halacha seems to say not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The second halacha seems to say yes, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So the Gemara gives two different approaches how to go about this internal contradiction. Mandule muki kitanoi, according to the one that doesn't like addressing things as different tanoim, and that is, this opinion is always that you'll try to have it in the same tanoic opinion in the whole Mishnah. And they'll say that it's either talking about two different scenarios, or say that there is a mistaken girsa in the Mishnah and we have to change the wording, and they'll explain it that it should be like one Tana. So according to that type of approach, then Tana Resha Torah, then that opinion will say that when it says in our Mishnah, that how do we know that if it's emitted a semen 3 days later that it's Tame, that it needs to have 4 days, he'll learn not Tame, he'll say that the correct reading is supposed to say Tara, that it is Tara, and therefore it'll be both like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The second halacha, like we said, that Rabbi Elazar says that you're allowed to wash the mila 3 days later, and also the first halacha says that 3 days post the intercourse, it will be Tahar, and that's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. However, according to the second approach, and the Gemara says Muki lelekulik Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and therefore it'll all be like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. However, man the mukim kitanoi, according to the one that prefers to say that it's two different tanoim than saying that there's a mistaken wording in our Mishnah, or to say that it's talking about two different types of scenarios. So then that type of approach will try to say that it's two different tanoim, and therefore Reish Rabbanon Basivik Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. According to that, we'll say that the first one was not like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, correct? That's the Rabbanon that argue, and they say that you need to have 4 days. For the first 3 days, it will be have a tumah of keri, as we're going to see in the Braisa. And the Sefer, the second halacha, was like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And this machloikis is a machloikis brought down the Gemara b'Metzia and Perek HaMafkid regarding someone that's a shomer that's watching over a barrel. The Rabbi Yochanan said over there, the Rebbe is going to interpret for me this halacha of chavez. According to one Tana, I'll bring his clothing to the launderer. In other words, he was trying to say that I prefer to say it's one Tana than say that this one Mishnah, which is generally a quoted text of how their learnings were two different people, according to two different opinions. Rather, I'd rather have a one opinion and say either that it was a mistaken version, a wording that's in there, or to say that because this is in a certain circumstance, that's in a different circumstance. And therefore, that's the machloikas that we have regarding would you prefer to have it two different opinions, and thereby having it that you don't have to change anything or say that it's something more than what's said over there, or would you rather have it one opinion and say that either there's a wording that's a mistake or that it has to be talking about two different types of situations. So now the Gemara brings a braisa that explains three different opinions regarding this halacha of up until when is shechva zera semen that is in the woman that's going to be emitted, until when does that transmit tumah. Turn on by the braisa. Paletah shechva zera b'yom ha'shlishi. If a woman emits semen on the third day, that is, for example, if let's say they had intercourse on Thursday, and then she emitted the semen on Shabbos. So it doesn't make a difference when exactly they had the tashmish, whether in the beginning of Thursday, which is Wednesday night, that then there will be 4 complete oinus. That is, an oinus, a complete period, whether the day from, let's say, morning till night, or from night until morning. That's what's called an oinus. That's a period that's going to be something pertinent for our Gemara. So it doesn't make a difference if it's going to be 4 complete oinus, which is Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday, and thereby by Shabbos, it's going to be day 3, but you'll only have 4 complete time periods. And it doesn't make a difference if they had Tashmish almost Thursday night, which is totally by night, where then you're only going to have 2 complete oinus. You're going to only have Thursday night and Friday day, which will only give you 2 oinus. That doesn't make a difference. Because as long as we said you're going to have Bayoim HaShlishi, then it's Tahar. Devar Rebbe Elazar ben Azari, that's the opinion of Rebbe Elazar ben Azari, which we just mentioned before. That is, if they had Tashmish on Thursday, any time of Thursday, the beginning of Thursday, the end of Thursday, but since there's still part of the day that's considered post the Tashmish, so you have Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, one Shabbos is day three, again, no matter if you had two Aynas, if you had four Aynas, doesn't make a difference how many Aynas went by that period, as long as it's day three, it's going to be tar. Rishmol comes to argue, and he comes to say that if a woman is poilev, she emits semen 3 days post tashmish, then it will transmit tuma. However, if she poilev, she emits the semen 4 days after, like the halacha our Mishnah was saying, then she's going to be tar. However, he agrees that miktsas hayom kekula, that part of the day will be considered like a whole day, and that if the Torah was only makbid about a certain amount of days, but not a certain amount of periods. And therefore, Bishmol says that if you want to have the same concept as Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to be tahar on Shabbos, which according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, we said that could be even if you had tashmish on any time during Thursday, because again, they both agree to the concept of miktsas hayom kekula, that part of the day is like the whole day. So according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that day three is already Torah, so you have Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos. Again, no matter if it's going to be four periods of day and night or two periods of day and night, meaning depending if it was the beginning of Thursday or the end of Thursday, Shmuel says the same thing will be regarding Wednesday. And that is, Pa'am b'shehin dalad oynas, sometimes it will be four periods. For example, if let's say they had Tashmish on Wednesday night, so that way you're going to have meaning Wednesday as it's getting nighttime, so you're going to have Wednesday night, Thursday night, and Friday, and then Friday night already, which is Shabbos, will be day three. That will be four periods. Parmashein Hayoinus. Sometimes if you have Tashmish on Wednesday, it'll be five periods. For example, if let's say that Tashmish in the beginning of day four, so in the beginning of Wednesday. So therefore, you're going to have, you can have Wednesday day, and then Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then Friday. That'll be five time periods. And Parmashein Vavoinus. So sometimes it's six periods. For example, if let's say that Tashmish in the beginning of Wednesday, which is Tuesday night by Bein HaShemashah. So then you have Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday. That's going to be six time periods, again, from Wednesday's Tashmish. But it doesn't make a difference if it's going to be six periods or five periods or four periods of, again, either day, night. Those are each considered periods because the contingency depends on days. So therefore, as long as you have Tashmish on Wednesday, doesn't make a difference if you're right in the beginning of Wednesday or mamish on the tail end of Wednesday. As long as you got part of Wednesday, you have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then on Shabbos is going to be day four, according to Rabbi Shmuel. That is the criteria. However, the third opinion of the Tanoik in the Braisa is the one that says that it does depend on the Oina, on the period of a day or a night period, and not in the amount of days. And that is Rabbi Kiva Amal Oilim, hey, it has to be exactly five Oinas. And however, and the Gemara is going to explain exactly where his opinion is based on. However, he qualifies as Vim Yatzitza Miktas Ein Rishon. However, if part of the first time period, whether it be night or day, is removed, in other words, it went into part of it that they had the Tashmish, so Nisan La Miktas Ein Rishon is going to give the equivalent into the sixth time period. And that is, Rabbi Kiva holds it has to be exactly 60 hours, which is what it would be if it's five complete Einas. So therefore, if it went into part of the first Einas, you lost a few hours, you can make up for it post into the sixth Aina. However, the idea is you have to have five complete Ainas, which are 60 hours. So now the Gemara says, Amrua, we said, which is the question the Gemara is about to say, Rabbanan Kamedra Papa. The Rabbanan said this following question in front of Rapapa, Amri La Rapapa, the Rabbanan, some say it was Rapapa that said it to Rava. That is, the Gemara's question is going to be based around the Machlikas between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yossi that's brought in the Braisan. And it's brought later on in the Perek, that according to the Rabbanan, that when it came time for Matan Torah, which was given on Shabbos, according to the Rabbanan, on Thursday they had to separate from their wives. According to Rabbi Yossi, on Wednesday they had to separate. And that is, again, according to everybody on Shabbos, the Aseret Sedibros, the Ten Commandments were given. And since on Shabbos it was given, so obviously on Friday night is when they went to the mikveh, and not in the morning, as the Gemara later is going to explain, that we shouldn't have some going to the mikveh and others going to accept the Torah at the same time. So therefore, the Gemara asks as follows. Bishlam Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Krabban, I understand Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, that holds that on day three, post-Tashmish, is going to be Torah ready. They hold, like the Rabbanan, that they had to separate from the wives on Thursday. No matter when on Thursday, that is when they stopped having Tashmish. Either way, that is the Amri Behei of Prisha, because Rabbanan say that on Thursday they do the separation. So therefore, that's exactly like Rabbi Elazar, that since on Thursday you did the Prisha, and there are those that didn't separate until really the last second that they cut until it's getting dark, However, from the fact that they went to the mikvah on Friday night and they weren't concerned that if they will emit semen post that there'll be a problem, so obviously on the third day it's tar. And that is because part of the day of the tashmish is considered like the whole day. So therefore, no matter what time Thursday, as long as they left a little bit of Thursday, you have Thursday, Friday, and then Shabbos, ready day three. So that's going to be tar. So that's very good that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying like Drabbana. Rabbi Shmuel, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that he says on day three, if semen is emitted, it still will transmit tumah. That's only on the day four that's going to be tar. He also has a support that he's Kiribi Yasi, the Amma B'dalot of a preacher, that on Wednesday they had to separate from their wives. That's exactly like Kiribi Yasi, that on Friday night is already 4 days post the separation. However, since there are those that didn't separate from the wives again until the last second, until it got dark, so you're only going to have four time periods, which is you're going to have Wednesday night, Thursday, Thursday night, Friday. So it's still, in spite of that, from the fact that they're going to immerse themselves in the mikvah, on Friday night, if anything that's going to come out later from them is going to be tar, we see the tar was only makbid about the amount of days because they said they separate on Wednesday. So as long as you have part of Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and then on Shabbos is day four, so it's going to be tar. And even though it's possible, you're only going to have four complete oinos in that time period. However, the question is, Rabbi Akiva, but according to Rabbi Akiva, that he says that you need to have five complete oinos, and then if it's within that time period, it's going to be tame if she emits the semen. Come on, which opinion is he saying? Like, from where does he learn that the Torah was makbid about time periods, but it says days over there? And we know that there's a klal throughout Shas, that miktas and yom kikuli, part of the day is like the whole day. So where would he get this from? Either they separated on Thursday, or they separated on Wednesday. And either way, it's not going to be five oinos. Either it's possibly even two, or possibly four, depending if it was on Thursday or Wednesday. But where do you see the concept about having five oinos? And that the Gemara says, Lo'ilim K'Reb Yasi, that in truth, Reb Kiva was saying like Reb Yasi, which is that they separated on Wednesday. However, where does he know that it was Dafka five oinus? Because could be they separated only towards the end of the day of Wednesday, which leaves them only four complete time periods, not that they separated earlier. Because he learns it, K'd Omer Avad Bar Hava, Moshe B'Hashkama Olo U'B'Hashkama Yered. That Moshe Rabbeinu would ascend to the heavens, to Hashem, in the daybreak. And he would also descend in the morning time. Where do we know this? From Bahashkama Allah, that he would ascend at the daybreak. The Chassid says in the Pasuk, Vayashke Moshe Babayke, the Moshe got up in the morning, Vayalal Har Sinai, went up to Har Sinai. And how do we know Bahashkama Yer, that he came down at daybreak also? The Chassid, Lech Reid, Valisa Atav Aranimach, says, go down, and you and Aaron should go up together. So Makesh Reid Laliyah, it equates, it compares his descending to his ascending. Ma'aliyah bashkama, just like we know that we just showed from the pasuk that when he ascended was in the morning. Afiyarid bashkama, also when he would descend would also be in the morning. That's why we're comparing the two. And therefore, since the Yerida, which says that Vayerid Moshe min ha'ar la'am, that Moshe Rabbeinu descended to the nation by Kaddish Hasam, and he sanctified the nation, which was the priesthood that he did, that he separated them from their wives, that was in the morning, that daybreak of Wednesday. And from the fact that he had to separate them in the morning, so obviously that the Hashem was makbid about five complete oinus, which was Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, and Friday day. Thereby, by Friday night, you were done, you were past five complete oinus, and therefore, if after that you emit the semen, it's not a problem because it's not viable anymore. We see that the Torah was only makbid, Rabbi Akiva proves, only for five oinus regarding the Tumah of Keri. That the Gemara asks. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to tell them in the morning when he came down in the morning? He always came down in the morning by daybreak to tell Klal Yisrael on Wednesday morning that no more Tashmish anymore until after Matan Torah. Why do you have to tell them during the day? Rav Huna said that Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people, are holy people. And they don't have intercourse during the day. As Rashi brings from the Pasuk in Mishlei Yotes, it says, Beizid Rachav Yomus, the one who degrades his ways, which is always a euphemism for intercourse, will die. That is, you have to have modesty, that the man and the woman should not be looking at each other in the private areas. That's not sneeze. And therefore, Kleisel doesn't have tashmish during the day. So why do you have to tell him during Wednesday day to separate no more from now on? They're not going to have now anyway. What's the point? On that, the Gemara says, it's not true. And then from there, we learn that he had to separate so that we see that five complete oinus they had to separate. Because there are two possibilities to have tashmish during the day. First one is, ha'amar ravim ha'yibayis afal mutter. If it was a dark room, then it's permitted. And therefore, there was an option of having tashmish during the day. It's only out in the open when it's sun or when there's any light that's streaming in that it's a problem. And moreover, a second reason is v'amar Ravi Tamer Papa Talmud Chochem Ma'afel B'Talisa Mutter. A Talmudic scholar is allowed to darken his bed with his cloak, and that is a Talmudic scholar, someone that's modest, and he won't look. So therefore, such a person is permitted to go ahead and take his cloak and cover it over himself, and thereby be intimate with his wife. And therefore, there were options to have tashmah during the day. That's why he had to separate them in the morning. And therefore, that's where we learn that they had to have five complete einus, again, from Wednesday morning all the way until Friday night. But now the Gemara asks, according to old opinions, and we continue on to Amud Beis, v'atvuli yomnenu, but they were... All the people, the way according to old opinions, they were just what's called a tful yom, that they had immersed, but they didn't have the morning, the daybreak after, to have tahara. And that is, according to old opinions, we say that when did they go to the mikvah? On Friday night. So that's what's called a tful yom. That is when they were makabel the Torah, they didn't have hair of shemesh, which is the following day after the tefillah. And since that's the case, and we know that generally for certain kedushas, you have to have a tefillah. That is, for example, regarding having a kohen to eat his truma. He has to do tefillah. Then he has to wait for Erev Shemesh for sundown. But the tefillah has to be before Erev Shemesh. You have to tefillah on Friday night. You're not having Erev Shemesh, which is sundown. You're already post that. It's already dark. You have to wait for the next day for Erev Shemesh. And for that whole time period, you're like in this intermediate stage of tahara called the tefillah yom. So therefore, what you really have to say, it sounds like, that they really tefillah from before Friday night. That's thereby by Shabbos, they're not a tefillah yom anymore. They're really totally tar. And still, what the semen that's going to be emitted will be tar, and therefore, according to all opinions, you're cutting down one aina according to everybody, because you didn't have all the way till Friday night. You obviously had to table on Friday day, because thereby you could have the tefillah, and then you could have the Erev Shemesh sundown, and then you'll be totally tar the following day. If not, they're tefillah yom. That the Gemara says, Abaye by Ravin, Rav Chinna by Ravin, the Army Tavai, they both said, Nitna Torah l'tful yom. The Torah was given to people at tful yom. They didn't have to be totally Torah. They didn't have to have a certain higher madrega, which is to have the tefillah, and then to have a harav shemesh. And that the Gemara says, Yosef Mirema become a lohol shemaitza. So Mirema was sitting, he was saying over this teaching that Hashem gave the Torah to tful yom. They didn't have to have this certain tahara of having a tefillah and then having harav shemesh after that. Amalei Ravina l'Mirema. So Ravina said to Mirema, who was saying over the saying, "Nitna kamer, did you say that Hashem gave it to tful yom? Iru kamer, or that it was the Torah was willing or it was fit to give to tful yom, but not that they were actually tful yom. They happened to have been tar. But had they had certain tumos, then there would be a tful yom. Amalei ru kamer. He says, no, I was saying that they were only fit. The Torah was being fit to give to tful yom, but actually they were totally tar, and no one was even tful yom. And that is, the Torah was fit to give to tful yom, and this Tana holds that the Torah was not makbid on tful yom, and that is because the whole halacha of harav shemesh was only said regarding kachim, sacrificial sacrifices and truma, and therefore all the 3 days that was said regarding the separation had to be before the tefillah. However, the Torah was not given ultimately to tful yom because they did tovel in the mikvah before Friday night, and yet they didn't emit semen. But had they emitted semen, let's say they toveled on Friday, Erev Shabbos, before it got dark, had they emitted, then they would have to go back and tovel in the mikvah on Friday night, and then they would have been tful yom, but the Torah would have allowed it. However, that's not actually what happened. They went in the mikvah Friday afternoon, and therefore they had Erev Shemesh, they were totally tar on the highest madriga, and no one emitted semen between that time and Friday night, and therefore they never had to have the tful yom of Friday night. And therefore, although we said that it was available, that option, but they weren't actually tful yom. Now the Gemara asks, v'litvelu b'ni shimshi, why couldn't they immerse themselves on Friday night, v'lekablu tar b'ni shimshi, and then accept the tar on Friday night? And Rashi just says the reason why it says the term Beni Shimshi, which generally means Ben Hashmash, is twilight. Rashi says Friday night is always called Bei Shimshi in Talmudic of terminology, because the Ben Hashmash, the twilight of Friday night, has many different halachic aspects than all the different twilights of the whole week, and therefore we call it Beni Shimshi, but it really means evening. So in other words, the Gemara is asking why, in other words, they're immersing themselves in the mikvah Friday night. So go ahead, accept the Torah already on Friday night. The question is, according to Rabbi Kiva, the Rabbi Kiva says that the Torah was makbid, that it has to be this amount of time periods. And that is, it had to be exactly five. So then once you had your five, so why weren't you makabel the Torah at night? And the fact that you waited till the morning to give the Torah, it sounds like you could say that the Torah was makbid, that had they emitted the semen on Friday night, then maybe they would have to tovel in the morning, and that they really needed six oinas, six complete time periods, because or else why would the Hashem have waited to give the Torah in the morning? Give it already on the night. You had five periods from the separation. Now you immersed. Now you can go ahead and give the Torah. And that the Gemara says, technically we could have, because you had the five oinas, but for a different reason, Hashem didn't want to give the Torah at night. Amir Bitzchak says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, Loi meroish baseisi debarti. From the beginning, I did not speak to you in secret. And that is, I don't want to seem like we're just getting it over during the night, out in the open, in public. Everyone should see I am revealing my Shechina to you and giving the Torah the greatest moment in history. But then the question is, v'litvulu b'tzafer d'shabata, v'lekabla Torah b'tzafer d'shabata. So then why did they have to immerse Friday night, go to mikvah Shabbos day, and then give the Torah at Shabbos day? Why did it have to be the way Rebbe Kiva is saying that you have to have the five time periods? And therefore, they had to, when Moshe came down in daybreak, that's when, on Wednesday morning, he had to separate them then, thereby that you could have the tefillah on Friday night. Why not just wait to separate them on Wednesday night? Why separate them earlier than they have to? And then they'll go to the mikvah on Shabbos day in the morning, and thereby you'll have your five time periods. Why separate them earlier than they have to? Separate them a time period later, and then let them go to the mikvah a time period later, which is not Friday night, but Shabbos morning. Because anyways, you're not giving the Torah on Friday night. You wait until Shabbos morning. So the Gemara says, in the Chanami, that could have been a possibility, but for a different reason, they couldn't go to the mikvah on Shabbos morning. Because Amr Yitzchak Shalei, hey, halolu holchem, lekabot Torah. You have some people are already on the way to Har Sinai. Hey, where are you going? I'm going to accept the Torah. Halolu holchem, so it says, oh, I'm running to the mikvah. It's not proper that everyone should not be going together at the same time to accept the Torah. That's the opinion of the different opinions that we said up until now. Rabbi Chiya, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yechanan, Zudiv, Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Kiva. This is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva, that whether it was that it had to be 3 days that they were separated, that is, had to be on day four, or like a Rabbi Kiva that he says had to be five oinas, five time periods, that's from Wednesday morning all the way till Friday night. The Chum say, they give a different reason really why Hashem had to wait till Shabbos morning to give the Torah, because Sheish Oinah Shleimah Bein. They needed to have six complete time periods. And that is, they hold like Rabbi Yosi, that on Wednesday was when the separation was. And it's like Rabbi Kiva says, in the morning that he separated them. However, they don't agree that they went to the mikvah on Friday night. Rather, they hold that they tabled on Friday night, and had they emitted the semen afterwards, the tefillah, then they would have had to table Shabbos in the morning. And that is why the Shechina did not come on Friday night to give the Torah, waited up until the morning. Not because of Loi Besesi Debarati, not only because of the reason, because Hashem didn't want to talk in secret, but because had someone emitted semen Friday night, right after the tefillah, it would have been a problem, because it would have been within the six time periods of when Moshe had told them. And therefore, that's why they had to wait until Shabbos morning, in case that happened, although that didn't ultimately happen, but that's why they had to have the six oinas, again, Wednesday day, Wednesday night, Thursday day, Thursday night, Friday day, Friday night. And thereby, if it would have been throughout Friday night, it would have been the problem. They would have to table Shabbos in the morning. That's why we didn't give the Torah up until Shabbos once again. Those are the two reasons, either because of Leib B'Seis of the Bat, Hashem didn't want to do it in secret on Friday night, or because of the possibility, if it would have been a woman would have emitted semen during that time period on Friday night, it would have been the problem, because it's within the six oinas. That's why we had to wait until Shabbos in the morning to give the Torah. Now the Gemara qualifies that this whole discussion that we spoke about, this whole machlokes that we were talking about up until when does Sheikh Vazera semen convey Toma was only talking about if it was emitted from a woman. That is, that the semen that she received from the male. That is what we said, that according to Rabbi Elizabeth and Zaria, that up until 2 days, it will putrefy. And that is because it gets hot in her body. And then we say, after that, on day three, already according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, which is the smallest amount of time, he says, then it's already not going to convey the tumah, because it cannot conceive a child from that anymore. Av pishum in the ish tamei. However, if the semen is emitted from the male, that if it gets on his garment, then that will always convey tumah, kol zman shilacha, as long as it's still moist. However, once it dries, then it's not going to convey tumah anymore, because once semen dries, it's not viable anymore to create a child. However, this whole discussion was only regarding the woman. Regarding the man, it could be even 7 days later, whatever it is, as long as it's still moist semen. And that the Gemara asks, Moser Rav Sheishes, we have a pasuk in Mayikra that says, V'chol beged v'chol or ashayil of Sheikh Vazer, that the tumah will be on any garment or leather that has in it semen. And that the Brisa says, Prat l'Sheikh Vazer, Shisrucha, that's excluding for semen that's foul, that's putrid, that won't convey tumah. So the Gemara says, "My love, Shapirshman Ish, isn't this that it sound like it's going that it was emitted from the man?" And that is, if it goes on his garment, that we're saying that it will be tar as long as it's foul. Because it doesn't say to exclude when it dries up, which would be the exclusion of the man. Now the Gemara says, lo, it should pierce him in the Isha with Tumah, that it was emitted from the woman. But regarding the man, would only be if it dries up, but if it's still viable, as long as it's moist, then the wood can make the Tumah. It's only, the whole discussion was only regarding a woman. So now, related to this topic, the Gemara asks, Bar Rav Papa, Shechvas Derech Sheyisrael B'mei Kudus Ma'ah, what is the halachic status of semen from a Jew that was emitted from a non-Jewish woman? That is, do we say that after 3 days, just like a Jewish woman, then it gets putrid, and if it's emitted after that, then whoever touches that drop will be tahar, or do you say not? And that is, we Dafka said the case of semen from a Jewish man, because if it was from a non-Jewish man, the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida that his semen is tahar, that doesn't convey tumah. So therefore, we're talking about the semen from a Jewish man, from a non-Jewish woman. What is the halacha? And the Gemara says, the Yisrael, the digibim mitzvahs, chavagufayu. The Jewish people, specifically we're talking about Jewish women, that they're worried about mitzvahs. That is, they're worried to be mekayim the mitzvahs, and that's like what they're called charedim, that they're worried, and because of their worry, their bodies get hot. Like Rashi brings a pasuk in Tehillim, cham libi bekirbi, that my heart is hot within me. So therefore, because of that, they get hot, and therefore that putrefies the semen, and therefore we say that after 3 days it's already not viable anymore. However, akum deloy diigib mitzvahs loy. However, regarding non-Jews, the non-Jewish, which their bodies are not worried about mitzvahs, therefore that does not create this heat, and therefore it would not putrefy the semen. Even after 3 days, it would convey the tumah of the semen of the male. A dilmor may be keeping the achlan shkatz meremasim chavagufay, maybe because they eat all this types of insects and rodents, which heat up the body, therefore their body are also hot for a totally different reason, therefore it would putrefy the semen, and after that amount of time it also would not be viable. Then the Gemara says, based on this question, v'imtim tzaloyma, kivin da'achle shkatz mermasim, chavul gufayu, and if you're going to say that possibly that they will also putrefy the semen because of the insects and the rodents that they eat, what is the halacha b'mei behema mahu? What's the halacha if the semen from a Jewish man goes into the insides of an animal? That is isha de isla praised masrecha. So that is a woman, whether Jewish or non-Jewish, that she has the vaginal canal, which is a corridor, and there's a flesh that's coming out from the woman, from the rechem, which that's like a cavity before it gets into the area where the semen goes into. So since there's no ear that gets to that area, it has this canal that's very tight, and therefore it's very moist and hot, and therefore that putrefies the semen. Therefore, by a woman, that's why after 3 days it's going to be non-viable anymore. A behemoth, the less praise the loy. But however, regarding an animal that doesn't have any canal, it goes straight into the womb, they were going to say that it won't putrefy the semen and therefore it'll become etum as long as it's still moist. Maybe you say it's no difference. As long as it goes into a womb, it's going to putrefy. Take it, let it stand. It's not clear regarding the non-Jewish woman and then regarding the animal, if we'll have the same halacha as a Jewish woman, that we say that after 2 or 3 days, it's going to putrefy and make it non-viable and not convey the tumah of the shechvezer, of the semen animal. So now the Gemara goes back regarding the discussion that we said, when was the day that they separated from each other to say that they had to, so that the semen that will be emitted will not convey tumah anymore, but when it's going to come time for Kabbalah Satira on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Tana Bar Yolanda Braisa, B'shishi b'chaydish nitna aseres adibas l'Yisrael. The Tana Kama holds that on the 6th day of Sivan, that is the day when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. And although it says in the Pasuk, V'yichasei ha'anan sheish yisrael, that the cloud covered him 6 days, and it says, V'yikra al Moshe v'yem ha'shvi, that Hashem called to Moshe on the 7th day, so that is, this Tana holds like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, that he says in the first parak of Yuma, that pasuk took place after the Aseres HaDibros. So when it says on the 7th day, although it sounds like, how could you say on the 6th this even? It says the 7th day, that story happened after, and that was the 7 days that Moshe Rabbeinu was separated before he came to Hashem to go up to Shemayim for 40 days. Rabbi Yisrael says that on the 7th day of Sivan is when they were accepted the Torah. And that is, Rabbi Yisi holds that Moshe Rabbeinu and all of Klal Yisrael were standing ready, waiting to accept the Aseres HaDibros. And this that it says, that pasuk that the cloud covered for 6 days, and then they called him on the 7th day, that was before, that was the 7th day of Sivan. However, it just gives a separate cover to Moshe Rabbeinu to say as if it was doing specially to him, but really, this pasuk was told him before the Aseres HaDibros, and that's a reference to the 7th of Sivan, when Hashem called out to Moshe and to the whole entire Klal Yisrael. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rabba, the Kuli Amar Beresh Chodesh also Lemidbar Sinai. Everyone agrees, really, that when Klal Yisrael came to the Midbar Sinai, to the area around it, they came on Resh Chodesh. How do we know this? Because Ksiv, it says in the Pasig, we have a Gzeir Shava of Hazeh Hazeh. Over here it says, Hocha, Bayoim Hazeh Bo Midbar Sinai, that on this day they came to Midbar Sinai. Ksiv Hazeh, we have another Pasig, it says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lechem Resh Chodeshim, that this month for you is the beginning of all months, which is the month of Nisan. And therefore, Malahal and Resh Chodesh, Avakam Resh Chodesh, just like over there, that Hashem was telling him the Resh Chodesh of Nisan, and that's when he told him, HaChodesh Lechem Resh Chodesh, it was on Resh Chodesh. Here also, when it says Hazeh, it was also a reference to Resh Chodesh. So we know that's when they came, was on Resh Chodesh. Ude Kuliyam B'Shabbos in the Torah Yisrael. And everyone agrees that on Shabbos is when the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael. And how do we know that? Because Ksiv Hach, it says over here, Zachas Yom HaShabbos L'Katshei, says you should remember the day of Shabbos to sanctify it. But Ksiv Hasim, it says over there, V'yem HaMoshe L'Om Zachas HaYem HaZeh, Moshe told to the nation, remember this day. And the Pasuk ends over there, Asher Yitzasim HaMitzrayim, the day that you went out of Mitzrayim. And we compare the two Psukim that it says Zachar, Ma Lahalo and Be'itzu Mishal Yom, just like over there was on that very day. That is there when he says Zachas Yom HaZeh, that was on that day when they left Mitzrayim, it was said to them, HaZeh, you should remember the day that you left, and that's on the day actually when they left. So Avkam Bitzu Mishalim here also, when Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Klal Yisrael that Zachas, Hashem HaShabbos HaKadosh, you should remember that day, it was taking place on that day, which is, on Shabbos was the day that they got the commandment of Zachas, Hashem HaShabbos HaKadosh, which is one of the Aseres HaDibros. So therefore we see that if that commandment, which was with all the Ten Commandments, was given on Shabbos, that's how we know that on Shabbos was Kabbalah Satorah. Because again, we know Zachar Zachar, that on the day that this was said, was the day that actually was taking place. Remember Yitzis Mitzrayim was said on the day they left Mitzrayim. Remember Shabbos took place on the day of Shabbos. So therefore we know that one of the Ten Commandments, which includes all the Ten Commandments that was given at one time, was given on Shabbos. So what is the Machloikas? Everyone agrees they came to the Midbar Sinai Rish Chodesh. Then a certain amount of time went time, and then they caught the Kabbalah Satorah on Shabbos. So keep Ligi B'Kvidi Archa. The Machloikas that they had was on what day of the week was Rish Chodesh. B'Yesi Saveh B'Chad B'Shabbat Ikva Yarcha. B'Yesi holds that on Sunday was Rish Chodesh. And that's the day they came to Midbar Sinai. And therefore, B'chad B'Shabbat Lo Emelu B'Leimidi Mishum Chol Shadorcha. That's why on Sunday, he didn't say anything to them because they were tired from the road, from the whole travel. So on Sunday was a day off. B'Trei B'Shabbat Amalu, on Monday, he said to them, V'atim Tiyuli Mamlechas Koinim, that you will be for me a kingdom of ministers. And that is, it's on Monday is when Moshe Rabbeinu went up and Hashem told him all these things. Until the Psukim that says, Eilad Varm Asher Tetaber. And these things were said to him the following day after they came. They came on Sunday. On Monday morning he went up, because he always went up in the morning. And even according to the one that says that not necessarily did he come down in daybreak always. However, because he doesn't hold to the Hekesh, but everyone agrees he went up at daybreak. And because that's explicitly a pasuk. So therefore when he went up on Monday morning, that's when it was told to him. And then he came down and he told this to Klal Yisrael. So that was told to him on Monday. But on Tuesday was said to him the mitzvah of setting boundaries, that the things that were said to him on Monday, so then they came down, according to the one that says that it wasn't always in the morning, they came down on Monday night, and he said this to Klal Yisrael, like it says that, Vayoveh Moshe v'yikul l'zikne'am, and then the following day he went up, on Tuesday, as the Pasuk says, v'yeshev Moshe's dibri'am, it says that Moshe would come and tell over the things that he said, that is, as we said, he went up in the morning, and on that day that it was said to him, was hine enochi bo'alecha ba'av, that was the mitzvah of Hagbalasam, of having to set the boundaries. Like it says, Hisham Elucham Eloispar, be careful lest you go past onto the mountain. That was said to him on Tuesday. And although this is written after the Pasuk of Vekidash Mayim Mimacha, that you should sanctify yourself, which was the separation today and tomorrow, which is the mitzvah of Prisha. However, Rashi says it was said beforehand. Because it says over there, regarding that ascending that he did on Tuesday to bring back to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says that the words of the nation that they said Nasa, that Hine Anochi Bo'alecha, I'm coming to you. And the end of that pasuk says, V'yagid Moshe's Dibriyam, that just like what is the words of the nation doing over here, rather the mitzvah of Gbala was set to him on that day. As the Gemara later on says, then that in the evening he said to Klal Yisrael, and the following day on Wednesday was when he went up and said, and he went up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he was told to him the mitzvah of Hagbalah, and that was said to separate the today and tomorrow, and although there's 3 days until Shabbos, however, the Gemara later is going to say that Moshe Hoisli B'Yamecha Midaita, that according to this opinion, Moshe added one more day from his own knowledge. So, although the Pesukim sound like that, it was different, but really it was, as we know, that Ein Mukta Mukha B'Torah, there's no exact order in the Torah. Some things that are written later are really done earlier. So again, on Monday was Atam Tili B'Amleches Kayinim, that's, you should be a kingdom of ministers for me. On Tuesday was said to him, the mitzvah of setting the boundaries. Ba'arba Ovid Prisha, and on Wednesday is when they made a separation between husband and wife. And that is, like we said, that on Wednesday was separation, and thereby that this opinion holds that by the time Shabbos came around, it was already, you had Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, so then really had day four. Rabban Savri betray b'shabbat kriyach. They say that on Monday was Rish Chaydush. And therefore, betray b'shabbat lo yom alubalei midi b'shabbat chosh d'orcha, as we said. On Monday, so they didn't tell me anything because they were tied from the road. B'tlasam alahu v'adam tiyuli. On Thursday, on Tuesday is when he said to him that you'll be for me, yamam lechaz kainim v'goy kodesh. Barba Amar Lohu on Wednesday said to them, Mitzvah Sagbal, the Mitzvah of setting boundaries. And Behei Avid Prisha, and on Thursday is when they said to him, the Mitzvah of Prisha of separation. And that goes according to the pin that says that on day three already, it will be Tar. So therefore, if you separate on Thursday, you'll have Friday, you'll have part of Thursday and Friday. And therefore, day three already will be Tar. And this is the Machlokes that we said that they have regarding if Shavuos is on the 6th of Sivan or on the 7th of Sivan, depending when Rosh Chodesh was. If you say, like Rabbi Yossi, that Rosh Chodesh was on Sunday, so then Rosh Chodesh is going to be on the 7th of Sivan. However, if you say, like the Rabbanan, that Rosh Chodesh was on Monday, and therefore everything is pushed off a day, and therefore, like we said, that Shavuos, Kabbal Satara, was on the 6th of Sivan, and that Machlik is between, if the separation was on Wednesday or Thursday, will be related to the discussion that we said, how many days have to go by before you have, that the semen that's emitted is going to be tummy or not, if it has to be after 2 days or after 3 days.